Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke. The new academic year is now underway in our Catholic schools, and in the midst of a pandemic, there are many challenges, but also much hope for a positive experience for our families and teachers. The Diocese of Pittsburgh Schools Office, regional administrators, and local school principals worked hard this summer on health and safety reopening protocols. A plan template was vetted by the pastors, parents, teachers, and medical professionals. Then proposals were adapted by principals according to their school's unique needs and approved by our school's office. Here to talk about those reopening plans and the different scenarios that could take place this school year is Michelle Peduto, who is the Director of Catholic Schools for the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. Michelle, welcome back to Catholic Education Plus.
Thank you, Father Tom. It's always a pleasure. I'm happy to be back.
And after Labor Day this past Monday, our schools reopened on Tuesday, so we're up and running. When the coronavirus struck earlier this year, you had almost no time to react immediately, closing our school buildings and quickly switching to online learning. And this summer, you've had a little bit more time to plan, but the situation was always challenging. First, tell us how you got organized with the COVID-19 educational planning team.
Well, sure. We had a very intense spring, as you know, just staying on top of the distance learning protocols that we had to implement so quickly. As soon as school ended, I think it was the Monday after school ended, we were back at it again with a group that we had selected from regional administrators, principals, to work on this document to prepare for the opening in the fall. So we spent about 2 months working on that. And as you said, we had it vetted by teachers, parents, physicians, other professionals, that were parents and other professionals that just came from our community, our local communities, to be sure we were on track. And we released that the very first of August. So it was a very intense summer. I think we actually worked harder, and many times it was seven days a week to get the plan up and running and to get everybody on board and everybody aware of what was happening.
Yeah, and just watching the news stories over the summer throughout August and even in late July, I mean, it was just changing daily and weekly for all the school administrators across the state and across the country, and you folks have done a tremendous job with that. Now, the team created a diocesan school health and safety plan template. Can you tell our listeners what are some of the key elements of that plan?
Well, the key elements of the plan are similar to other plans that are developed by all the schools across the state, and we start with preventative measures, and those are the key pieces of hygiene, good hygiene, social distancing, and, you know, in July, the governor released the mandate that we would all wear masks, and so that became part of that piece as a mandatory measure. We also have a piece of it that talks about monitoring student and staff health. What do we do if we identify a case in the school, or if there's a case outside the school that impacts the school, what do we do? So those pieces are in there, those mechanisms on how we report and quarantine. We also have some professional development protocols because this required a whole new way of thinking on the part of our teachers. Not that we're not always we're not always considering hygiene, but these are extreme measures where we really want to be sure that we're taking every possible safety step. So there was a professional development involving our maintenance staff and our teachers and also our children and our families so that everyone would know what to do. Those are the primary pieces to this plan.
Mm-hmm. Now, our Catholic schools, they opened the last week of August. The elementary mm-hmm. teachers asked for more time to prepare for their classrooms, practice the new protocols, the test systems for distance learning, and to do additional health and safety training. How are their needs a little bit different with the younger students versus the high school students?
Well, one of the key factors is we switched what we were doing from the spring. So in the spring, we had distance learning. But in the fall, we were moving to synchronous learning, which is live streaming. And the teachers were just really not confident just because they had no practice with it. So we wanted to give them a few extra weeks to practice that, but also to be sure that the hallways, everything was set so that when the students came back to school, it would flow as best it could given the situation. But younger children, we had to teach them. You have to teach them the first few weeks. And to do that, you want to be sure that the teachers are adequately prepared to do that. It is a little bit different with high school, actually a lot different with high school, because those students are very technology savvy and teachers too. They've worked with blended programs where it's partly online, partly in class. They really did a beautiful job with that. Our high schools jumped right into that and did just such a great job. But then you're also working with young adults who take direction very well, and there's not a lot of walking through routines with them. They pick it up very quickly. So we wanted to allot our teachers the time to really feel confident, feel good about starting that first day. So that was the reason for giving them just maybe 7 or 8 days more than the high school had.
Sure, and I can understand. I think pretty much everybody, obviously the high school students, it's a little bit different than the elementary school students. So I could see, you know, realistically it was probably better to pause an extra additional week for the elementary school teachers just to get everybody up and running, get all their ducks in order, so to speak, versus the high school, because it's a little bit more complex with the younger children. Are the elementary teachers feeling more comfortable now since they had that additional week?
Well, I think they are. I visited two schools and spoken with the teachers. Yesterday, I went to visit Holy Family in Plum, our newly merged school. Mm-hmm. The teachers were excited to start. And that's the difference, too, feeling apprehensive and then feeling excitement because you are prepared. And so that's what I've sensed from the teachers. I was up at Our Lady of Fatima last week. Is also speaking with teachers, and their rooms were all ready, and they were actually very anxious to start at that point. So that's a much better way to start the year. I think they are. I've heard from several via email and text messages that they appreciate the extra time, and they're excited. The children are excited to be back, too, which was wonderful to see, the smiling eyes. I saw so many smiling eyes yesterday because they all had their little masks on.
The school opened this past Tuesday, and I have three schools, so it's a little unique for me as a pastor with St. Bede and Point Breeze, Sister Thea Bowman Catholic Academy in Wilkinsburg, and St. Benedict More in the Hill District. And in talking to all three of my principals, they were really feeling extra at ease that they had that extra time, that additional week was really good, and they were all ready to go, and they felt, you know, opening day this past Tuesday, it went very well, very smooth. Mm-hmm. Now, you've pointed out that every school is unique. There's no cookie-cutter approach, obviously. What ways are they different, and how do you take that into consideration? Because the buildings are different, the campus outline, the administrators, they're all unique in a special way.
Yes, they are. They are, and they all have different enrollments and different. Mm-hmm. There's different numbers that range anywhere from 100 to 600, and their facility sites are laid out differently, as you said. So there's Some have larger rooms, some have smaller rooms, some have more community spaces, communal spaces that they can utilize. Some have outdoor spaces that they can utilize, which is what we highly recommended, is as much as you could have the students outside, have them outside if it's possible throughout the day, to give them breaks, to take, you know, with social distancing, to take a mask break, to maybe eat lunch outside. So the facilities are different, the enrollment's different. We just really wanted each site to really evaluate what they have and how they could adapt their spaces for the health and safety plan. So there is no cookie cutter piece for this. We just rely on schools to look carefully at their own situations. And I did point out repeatedly that, unlike public schools, we, in some cases, we have very large spaces that accommodate a smaller number of students. And we also had anywhere from 15 to 20% of our students opted for fully online. That was very different by school, too. Some were 10%. One school was 50%. So they're very, very different circumstances for each site.
Yeah, and I was driving around on Tuesday doing just a lot of different errands, and I drove past Archangel Gabriel in Robinson Township on Steubenville Pike, and I saw a teacher with her class right in front of the school, and they have a nice big parking lot and a nice grassy area, and then over St. Bede and Point Breeze, the students were in the big grassy area there along South Dallas Avenue in Egerton. So that's good if, as long as the weather cooperates, and I'm sure our teachers and the principals and the kids, you know, will utilize outdoor spacing too, as the weather permits, just to get some fresh air and keep that social distancing. And as you said, you know, utilize all the buildings are different, and if they have a large open space outdoors or down the hall or a big gymnasium area, utilize that wide open space to be flexible. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Wholeheartedly.
Okay, good. And just be flexible as we get
be
our
flexible.
Up and running. That's all you have to do. I think that's the whole name of the game for the whole year, is to be flexible.
It absolutely is. Yeah. Absolutely is. Yes, indeed.
Well, we'll take a break. We got lots more to cover. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus here on KDK Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, the pastor of St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, and Wilkinsburg section of the city of Pittsburgh, and also the pastor of St. Benedict the Moor Parish in the Hill District. And this morning, I'm with the director of Catholic Schools, Mrs. Michelle Peduto, and our Catholic schools are up and running here in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Now, Michelle, you have in-person distance learning and hybrid plans in place to deliver a quality Catholic education to our students. And as we mentioned in our first segment, each school is obviously offering all three of these different, and the percentages are different. Now, how will each of these work, the three different options for our parents?
Well, we'll start with the easiest and the one we're most familiar with, and that's the in-person. Of course, that's just day-to-day in the classroom with social distancing and masks and all the safety protocols we mentioned earlier. And then we have a hybrid model, which can also vary school to school, and it is somewhat dependent upon transportation as well, how this rolls out. But generally, it runs 2-2-1, which is 2 days in for one group, and then 2 days in for the other half of the school, and then 1 day off where everyone's online. That's been the standard. Now, there are variations of that based on decisions made locally. And, of course, the online, the completely, fully virtual, is offered to everyone throughout the diocese if they so choose, and that's just at-home instruction with live streaming coming from the classroom. So you're actually present in the classroom to some degree electronically and receiving instruction just as your peers are receiving instruction. So, and I think the key here, and I really want to make sure everyone is clear about this, this is a very fluid situation, as you mentioned earlier. It changes quickly. It's not something that school administrators like or parents like, the idea that you don't know day to day what's coming. We've really learned that since March 13th, that you just don't know. And so we have to be able to pivot quickly from one model to the other, and that is, it is, I would say, probable. It is likely that at some point in time we may have to pivot from one model to another. That was part of the training over the summer. So teachers could do that without skipping a beat, that would flow very nicely into the next model. But it does require a lot of patience on the part of everyone. So I do want to make sure that everyone is aware that because we've started one way does not necessarily mean that that will be the way through the end of the year. We just don't know.
No, it's, as you said, it's fluid. Now, for me personally, my nephew Thomas, my namesake, is a senior this year at St. LaSalle High School, and he is choosing the distance option. My sister Lisa and my brother-in-law Paul have chosen that model, and Thomas said that, you know, it's working out very well. He logs on every morning, and he's literally, you know, sees his classmates and his teacher, and it's working out very well. Obviously, you know, eventually he does want to get back into the building physically to see his friends and interact with the faculty. Now, some families are choosing that distance option, and you said you've committed to providing an experience that mirrors in-classroom learning. How do you do that?
So, as I said before, it is the live streaming piece that makes all the difference, because it does then set forth a daily schedule for the student who's at home to participate in classes and to actively participate in the class as it's going on, with questions and just contributing to the classroom discussion. So it does allow for that. So I think that piece is really important, and it's interesting you mentioned your nephew, because we did find over the course of the spring, I was hearing from some parents that we have students that prefer the online approach. So it's something to consider long term, because children learn differently. Young adults learn differently. Adults learn differently. And I think we're finding even in our workforce that in some cases our employees prefer to be at home, and the work production is greater for them to be at home. So there's a lot of considerations. But I think the live streaming has made all the difference as far as having the student feel a part of the class.
And I think everybody's come a long way since March, when we were forced to shut down and had to do the homeschooling program, you know, the virtual. And it's amazing how quickly, just over the last couple months, how everything has improved for everybody, because obviously, you know, you have time to prepare. And as you said, it's fluid and it gets better and better day by day, week by week. Now, one thing we've learned about the virus, that it's nearly impossible to stop its spread, but it can be contained. How do you hope to do that in all of our schools?
Well, we're doing a lot of praying, and we're encouraging a lot of communal prayer that we pray together on all of these things. But proactively, we're putting all of those health and safety measures in place. We're asking that families at home honor those health and safety practices, because obviously they're only with us 6 or 7 hours of the day, and they're at home for the rest of the time. So we're hoping that happens. I think we really can do this, but it does require great vigilance and great understanding and commitment to what's important, and that's the children and their experiences. And I think because it does move so quickly, this is such an, I don't want to say ideal time, because that sounds very ironic, I guess, but it is a time to teach our children through our faith how to handle adversity. How do we overcome obstacles? How do we work through difficulties? These are opportunities that can form our children for a lifetime. And so if we do this courageously and with all of the things, all these procedures in mind, I think there's a great lesson to be learned by the young people on how they move forward throughout their lives.
Yeah. Now, I know you have a lot of contingency plans, but how do you respond if something unexpected comes up? Because you have to. You have to be on call, so to speak. You know?
Well, that happens frequently, and I think I'm working with incredible people. So when you have things that come up, it's not up to me, one person, to figure out the solution. I have regional administrators, I have principals, teachers, I have diocesan help, and we work together, we pull together very quickly and come up with whatever we need to come up with to get through the situation at hand. And we have great support through our communities. We have terrific parents that have expertise all over the place.
Yeah.
So the key is these are not one woman or one man decisions. These are things that I'm blessed to have such an incredibly gifted group of people around me. So I think that's key. And then we do it step by step. And they're so multi-talented that I just know I can count on these folks to get through anything. And then, and you know what? It's always about God. Always
right.
About
yeah.
God first.
So well, we only have about a minute and a half. I want to get to the last question. You have told parents that their partnership, patience, and prayers, the three P's, are essential right now. And that's definitely for sure. How do you try to keep everyone on the same page and working together? Your final thoughts.
Yeah, communication, open communication both ways. If you don't understand what we're doing, reach out. Everybody, I think everybody in the world has my cell phone at this point in time. So we take those calls. It's always better to reach out locally first because they're on the ground. But keeping that communication open, very difficult to do in ever-changing times, because once you put out a message, it seems like it's you got to put out another message to correct the previous message. So there is that piece, but open communication and also understanding that people really are trying their best. They are trying their best to do what's best for kids. We every day, that is our focus. That and being sure that we're communicating the faith aspect to everyone, that it's absolutely integrated into everything we do. So patience, prayer, positivity, all of those things, and communication above all.
Absolutely, yeah, the three P's, patience, perseverance, and prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to do that. And I really want to commend you and Anna Torrance and the rest of the diocesan staff for all that you've done. Tremendous kudos to you. Michelle Peduto, Director of Catholic Schools, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much. God bless.
We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to KDK Radio. In our Plus segment, we're featuring the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And this weekend, we are looking at the Gospel of St. Matthew, the parable of the unforgiving servant. A king forgives the servant's debt, showing mercy and forgiveness. And when that servant encounters a fellow servant who owes him a modest amount, he demands full payment immediately and forgets the mercy and forgiveness that he was treated. And mercy and forgiveness cannot be earned. They come from the heart with no limitations. And we, too, are called to live out the commandments as the way that we honor our covenant with God. If we have revenge and hate, there's no place in our relationship with God and others, and especially this time of year when our nation is so unrest with the social justice issues, the political divisiveness. Treating others with mercy gives us, all of us, peace. And Jesus tells us that we should have no limits for forgiveness as well. So let's work on our own relationships to be forgiven, to love God, and to love our neighbor.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.